Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
I got a 60s, I think it's a 60s song in my mind.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I'm trying, is what goes up must come down.
I know this one. I absolutely know this one. When you said that, I looked at the title and I said, I bet I know the song. I know this one.
You knew the song before I even said I was going to do a song?
Yes.
And Amy J's in Virginia saying she knows the song. I can
All
see
right.
her, right?
That'll do it for today's episode of Rainer. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
What is the song, Jonathan?
It's What Goes Up Must Come Down. I knew that.
So, no, what's the song?
I don't know what the song is, but like I knew the...
Spinning Wheels.
Okay, whatever.
You know the group?
No, I knew the melody.
Amy J, you know the group?
What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know either. Well, we're going to have to look that up while I thank our good sponsors from Vanderblum and Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vanderblum and Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
I had a long telephone conversation with William a week ago, or roughly a week ago, from the recording of this podcast. And it's fascinating to see how God keeps taking that organization. It started out primarily as pastor search of large churches. Then it became pastor and staff. And now the majority of their searches are churches under 1,000, even under 500. And they're moving into higher education and areas like that. Love watching the leadership and the entrepreneurship of William and his team, and really grateful for them because they've been a sponsor as long as we have had sponsors.
Yes, they really pour blood, sweat, and tears into...
Oh, blood, sweat, and tears. That is the group. That is the group.
Into those pastor searches. See, I tied the two together. How about that?
Oh, man. I can't believe I did not know that. And I'm wondering if that song edged into the 70s instead of the 60s.
68.
60. I knew it was late 60s. I thought it was... is going to be there. I really kind of stopped around 66 because by that time I was 11 years old and I was too mature for 60 songs. So really from 60 to 66 is my sweet spot of music. But blood, sweat, and tears. Yes. Okay, Jonathan, we're going to talk about a phenomenon that is becoming increasingly common in a number of churches.
Yeah, this is paradoxical.
What's that?
It's paradoxical. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
It does not, but once you begin to unpack it, you begin to realize why it does make some sense.
Exactly.
There are a number of leaders who will, especially this will happen on Church Answers. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to recall, to give credit where credit is due, if this was a topic that came up, I'm not sure, on Church Answers Central. But by the way, I engage in about 75% of the topics. I was looking at the number of times I've been engaged. It's about 75% of the time, at least have some kind of input. So I love interacting with these leaders. And the issue is, hey, my attendance is going up, but my giving is going down. And of course, first thing I say is call Janaris. Call Janaris, who's been a long-term sponsor at tomrainer.com, and find out how to be more efficient in stewardship. But then we began to break it down. And what we're going to talk about is seven issues that are connected to this. Wait a minute, my attendance is going up, but my giving is going down.
Yes. And point number one, it happens in about 25% of churches with attendance increases.
Okay. First of all, to the listener, there is a word in there, about.
About.
That means that this is anecdotal, that we haven't done the studies. I am simply saying that it is my best perception of the churches that are growing. About 1/4 of them, it seems to be the pace, but about 1 out of 4 are coming to me and saying our giving is going down while the attendance is going up. I think I have a pretty good frame of reference because when you start looking at the number of growing churches, they are relatively few. Depending upon whose study you look at, like the Exponential Lifeway Research study would have said about 3 out of 10 churches are growing. So, and then our study would have had just a little bit fewer than that. So my best estimate, anecdotal information is about 1 out of 4 churches will actually experience giving declines when attendance is going up. And I've been unpacking this for a couple of years, and I found a few things that we can share with our listening audience.
All right. Number two, the up and down period typically lasts 1 to 2 years.
This is not ongoing. When you start seeing giving go down with attendance going up, the likelihood is that you're in the midst of a short-term phenomenon. And that short-term phenomenon is simply stated, giving will eventually turn back around to more mimic the growth of the church. So if you're in the midst of this and you may be having some type of panic issue on it, panic attack, oh my goodness, why is we need our church to stop growing so we can have more income. No, this is a phenomenon that is most typically short term. And so when I tell pastors, if I can make this a physician analogy, when I tell pastors to take 2 aspirin and call me later, my 2 aspirin are watch your numbers, give it 18 to 24 months. And if it hadn't turned around, call me. And by the way, if it has turned around, let me know. And typically, because we've seen it enough, not because I'm smart, but because we've seen it enough, almost inevitably, that's two words that don't really go together, but almost inevitably, the response will be, you were exactly right. Now giving is going back up again. So it's short term. Just want to put many of our leaders at ease.
All right. Now there are a few factors that play into this. And one of those is point number three, it's new Christians.
Well, yeah, if you're growing, there's a good possibility that you are growing with new believers. New believers don't start tithing right away. That would be the exception rather than the rule. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've got my own story. Jonathan, have you heard the $2 story?
No.
I don't think I've told you
maybe,
that story.
Maybe. Is that whenever you put in $2 into the offering plate and Ellie Joe was like, that's not enough?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I have heard that, obviously.
I can't imagine there are many stories of mine that you have not heard. I became a believer through the witness of my high school football coach, but I stayed that baby Christian until marriage. And then marriage, under the influence of Nellie Joe, we started going to a church and started getting discipled. And so I started maturing in Christ. But I was still, in many ways, a baby Christian when I went from unchurched status to church status as a newlywed. And we're in church, and I'm sure that Nellie Joe said something like this. It's been too long ago. We've been married 41 years, so it's been way too long for me to remember the precise words. But she probably said, you know, as the leader of this house, you need to set the example by giving. So I said, okay, I'll give to the church. And so, Jonathan, I didn't just give $2. I wrote a $2 check.
No, you did not.
I did.
No.
I wanted that for my tax deduction.
Oh, my word. I thought you just pulled out a couple of bucks out of your wallet and thrust it in the plate. You wrote a check for $2?
So that when the giving records came out, I could deduct it.
That is awful.
It is really, really bad. It is really, really bad. And here's the thing about it. I did not become a tither for about another year.
Okay. But and no more $2 checks, though, huh?
I never went back to that church I visited either.
Oh, man. Did you get your year-end giving report?
Oh, gosh. Well, giving report,
$2. I'm glad Nellie Joe lit into you for that.
Well, that's
you deserved it.
Probably well-deserved on that one. I wrote a $2 check and put it in the offering plate.
Oh, man. That is amazing.
But, so you did not know all that story, did
you? No, not that part. But to your point, it takes a while for new Christians to understand the spiritual discipline of tithing.
Yes, regardless of where you come out theologically on the tithing issue, the spiritual issue of greater stewardship,
yeah,
whichever way you want to look at it. And as I indicated just a few minutes ago, I became a tither and then more so about a year later. But I worked my way into it. And once I got into that point, I wondered why I worked my way into it.
Yeah.
Because I saw that, hey, God does provide, and it works very, very well.
Yeah, and so, if your church wants to kind of resource its members about tithing, you can probably check out the The Money Challenge, the book by Art Rayner, or the Marriage Challenge. I know that the summit in Raleigh, they're giving that to the new giving units in the church, the Money Challenge. So money is often the, actually not often, it is the leading cause of divorce. Money issues are the leading cause of divorce in America. And couples that don't quite see eye to eye on money, those can, it can cause for tension in marriages and tension in the church. So those two resources really help in that area, especially with those new Christians who don't really understand, like you said, the biblical principles of stewardship.
Are those new Christians who write
$2
checks. Cheapskate. Yes.
First time in my life I've ever thought you were a cheapskate, because you're one of the most generous people that I know. But
well,
wow.
I was definitely, I thought I was being generous.
Gosh, $2.
Probably not.
Number four, younger families. They're reaching younger families. The earning potential's not quite there yet. So the tithe won't, even if they are tithing, it's not going to be what a more established person, a more established family would be giving.
Exactly. And church planners will amen this all over the place, because church planners will say, boy, we got a lot of young families in the church. We got this new church started. And our weekly per capita giving is $18. And for those of you who are not familiar with the calculations of weekly per capita giving, it's your annual budget giving divided by your average attendance divided by 52. I know that's a lot, but it's how much each attendee, from baby all the way up to the oldest person, gives on the average every Sunday or every worship time. And it's around $31, $32. It's right in that range. And your younger families may not have that type of giving potential because they're early in their career. Some of them are for the wrong reasons. They have heavy expenses, and so the church gets left out relative to their income. They have kids, obviously.
Yeah. Student loans, another crippling financial burden for younger families.
That's true. That's true. Some of them may still be paying off on their student loans as well. So all of those reasons come into play. If you're growing and that growth is coming through younger families, then there's a good possibility that your giving is going to go down for a season.
All right. Number five is one that it's kind of like a negative here, because you're growing, a lot of times you see an exit of stable givers because the church is changing.
There are different types of exits. Some of the exits of stable givers are through death, and there's usually nothing you can do about that. And so some of
understatement of the episode there.
So some of your givers have gone to heaven, and so there's no longer giving. By the way, parenthetical on this to you church leaders out there, if you're not talking to your stable givers, to your established members, about some type of will or something where the church is remembered in it, some type of estate planning, believe me, other nonprofits are talking to them. So that's just kind of a heads up there. And somebody will say, well, I know this couple are going to give to they're going to leave everything to their family. Maybe, maybe not. It could be that they want to leave a portion to the church and then the rest to their family. So a lot of nonprofits, educational institutions are really on to that. And you need to be looking at that too.
Yeah. And we've talked about that on the podcast though.
And yes, we have.
Christopher's book, Not Your Parents' Offering Plate. We'll link to it in the show notes today. But do check that out and just kind of look for that in the Rayner on Leadership archives. We did several several episodes that we talked about that.
Exactly. Another reason you may have exit of stable givers is for the wrong reason, at least from my perception. They don't like the change that is taking place. Jonathan, you already mentioned that. It could be change in the worship style. It could be change in the number of services they have, or it just could be new people. This is not my church anymore. I don't recognize it, as if you have title and ownership of God's church. But those could be some of the negative reasons that you are losing some. You know, I'm not going to mention his name, but you and I have a mutual friend. He lost like 40% of his giving in 1 year through two families.
Yeah.
Through two families.
And nothing that could have prevented it, because they were both related to job relocation.
Yes. Yes. And in fact, they understood how dependent the church was, that at least one of them, if not two of them, made a gradual decline in giving until he finally got it to zero. But Yeah, you can have an exit of stable givers in the midst of a growth time. And so when that begins to take place, your giving is going to go down. That is a negative. Where, how are they being replaced? They're being replaced with givers who may be at 10, 20, 30% of the level of those who departed.
Yeah.
That is a phenomenon that is pretty, pretty common. In the midst of this, you can have a lot of emphases and you can have a lot of things going on and you can forget something, which brings us up to the next point.
Yeah, the stewardship emphasis declines in the church.
Yep. Happens a lot. You're so busy with the growth mode. Now, all church leaders are busy, but you're in this growth mode and you have plans to reach the community. You may be in some type of building program. You may be going multi-site. And you have all of these things taking place. And what sometimes gets neglected is an intentional emphasis on stewardship. Sometimes you're just shy to say it because you don't want all these new members to think, oh, it's all about the money. But we've talked many times about churches that keep the stewardship emphasis right in front of the people. And the best way to do it is during the offertory. During the offertory, do the what I call the Mike Glenn approach. And Mike Glenn's the lead pastor at Brentwood Baptist. He takes the time of offertory to remind people of the ministries and what God is doing through the church. And he usually wraps it up and says, that's why we do the offertory. That's why we have this time of worship, is because we are supporting ministries like the example that he just gave. And so it is not uncommon to get out of the routine of helping your entire congregation become better givers.
All right. And then number seven, the final point here, is to decline in percentage of attendance in groups. So I guess this goes back to the more involved people are in groups, the more likely they are to give. And if your percentage falls in groups, then your percentage that are giving falls as well.
You nailed it.
Oh, I get a gold star.
What's that?
I get
a gold star.
Yeah.
You get a gold star. And for those of you who maybe have not heard episode number 526, we gave Jonathan a gold star because I talked about the time I tried to start a worship service and serve with meals in the worship service, and he got all excited about it. So I gave him a gold star in episode 526, and I'm giving him a gold star in episode 527. But you are exactly right, Jonathan. When people go to groups, their giving can increase depending on which study that you look at. The oldest one out there is the Robert Wuthnow study, but depending on which study you look at, 4 to 5 times the level of people who are in worship. Is it a cause and effect or is it correlated? Probably a little bit of both. But people who go to groups are more likely to give more. And so if you have people who are not in groups, they do not have the connection to the church and they're less likely to give. I just got off the phone right before this recording's here. I was on a Zoom conference call with one of the guys that I'm coaching, going through this exact same phenomenon. We're looking at his giving. It's plateauing after it had been increasing significantly, but the attendance is going up. And I asked him, I said, how are your groups doing? And he said, funny you should say that, but our group attendance has been declining in the midst of worship attendance increasing. And I said, I think that's one of the key things. And so we started unpacking the groups, and whether you call it Sunday school, small groups, life groups, whatever name that you give it, if you have a decrease in the attendance of groups, you can watch the worship attendance go up. But if the group attendance is going down, there is a good possibility that your overall giving is going to go down. So this phenomenon is one that I don't think I would have even thought about 4 or 5 years ago, but now it's becoming more and more common. And especially in those growing churches where the leaders are asking the question, why is my giving going down when we're growing? I hope this gives you not only some insight into the why, but also some possibilities of what you can do about it, some practical applications of what you can do about it.
Yeah.
Speaking of what you can do about it, if you want theological education, Jonathan, what can you do about it?
You can go to Midwestern Seminary. And you can check out their Doctorate of Ministry degree. The DMIN is their advanced degree preparing students for leadership in local churches and denominational service. It's also fully attainable in a hybrid format, which means you don't have to leave your current place of service to pursue your degree. You can do the work from where you are. You can find out more about this at mbts.edu/DMIN. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on the Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Well, once again, with gratitude to the podcast team. I mentioned this in episode 526, and now in this episode 527, we've got the three of us in three different, not just places, but states. Jonathan's in Nashville. I am in Bradenton, Florida, and Amy is in the Richmond area. I never can remember what the town is in Richmond, but I know it's in the Richmond area. So Amy J is there. Jonathan is there. I love technology. We used to have to go to studios and have all kinds of equipment, even on a rolling cart, go with us. And now we're able to do this from a remote location. So to all of you listeners, thank you for being a part of Rainer on Leadership. And thank you for allowing us to come to you wherever we may be.
Now, you know, training your volunteers and leaders is important in your church, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? That's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With their library of 3,000 ministry training videos, the work has been done for you and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. It's training you can trust, and each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. You can even get training on Dr. Rainer's book, I Am a Church Member, and create a new members class. You can also customize any training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now Ministry Grid has one plan with one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. Head to ministrygrid.com for more information. Once again, that is ministrygrid.com. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.